It's 7 April. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Never apologize to these people. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we got some news from Israel, from the Times of Israel. The Biden admin said to approve transfer of over 2,000 bombs and 25 F-35s to Israel. Now, I brought this up because last week I said that they're playing both sides of the fence, the Biden admin. They're saying they're doing this, and they're doing this just to keep everybody trying to like them because they're a very unpopular group of people. And so here you go. The U.S. in recent days authorized a transfer of billions of dollars worth of bombs and fighter jets to Israel, even as it publicly expresses concerns about an anticipated military offense in Rafah. The American Daily says the new arms package includes 1,800 MK-84 2,000-pound bombs and 500 MK-82 500-pound bombs, along with 25 F-35s that were initially approved as a part of a larger package by Congress in 2008. Israel requested the third squadron of 25 F-35s last July, which then delivered will bring the total size of the fleet to 75. Washington gives $3.8 billion in annual military assistance to Israel, its longtime ally. The U.S. has been rushing air defenses and munitions to Israel as it fights against Hamas in Gaza, but some Democrats and Arab American groups have criticized the Biden admin's steadfast support of Israel and called for leveraging military aid. I saw Nancy Pelosi did that a day ago. We have continued to support Israel's right to defend itself. Conditioning aid has not been our policy. And then from Mail Online, Biden set to sell up to 50 F-15 fighter jets to Israel for $18 billion in biggest arms sale to Tel Aviv since the start of the war against Hamas. So they're talking about even more. So they're saying one thing, they're doing another, and then they're saying one thing and they're doing another. Yeah. From Breitbart, at least with Trump, we knew exactly what he was doing and when he was going to do it, and he didn't hide things. Pentagon, weapons to Israel have flowed more rapidly than ever since October 7th. Asked by a reporter during a background briefing whether Defense Secretary Austin discussed with his Israeli counterpart at the Pentagon limiting those weapons or conditioning them on efforts to get humanitarian aid to Palestinians, a senior defense official said, regarding the question about security assistance, you know, security assistance, which is a longstanding feature of the U.S.-Israel relationship and the U.S. commitment, Israel security, it has flowed more rapidly than ever since the attacks of October 7th. And the secretary ensures, said very clearly that we will continue to stand up for Israel's right to defend itself in accordance with the law of armed conflict and international humanitarian law, and to ensure that Israel has what it needs to defend itself. The Biden admin is under intense pressure from Democrats to limit the flow of U.S. weapons to Israel over concerns Israel is being excessive in its reaction to Palestinian terrorist organizations' Hamas October 7th attack, which killed more than 1,200 people, many of them women and children and the elderly. About 200 were kidnapped, with only about half of them released. Since Israel launched a counteroffensive, progressives have pushed for a ceasefire, citing Palestinian civilian casualties. Biden has increasingly ramped up criticism of Israel. From Haaretz, U.S. finds Israel in compliance with Biden's demands on international law humanitarian aid. Now, this is something I reported on 2 or 3 months ago. They decided that they're going to make everybody that gets funds have to prove that they're doing in accordance with U.S. policy so that they get those funds, something they've never done before, and it happened right during the middle of a war with Israel. Well, this tells you that that was eyewash. That's all this will tell you, is that they're doing these things to make Israel look bad while still funding Israel so that they're playing both sides of the field. Same thing. The U.S. deemed Israel in compliance with Biden's NATSEC memo stipulating that recipients of U.S. weapons must be in compliance with international law, nor may they block the provision of humanitarian assistance. Israel was obliged to provide written assurances via a credible high-level official who has the ability and authority to make decisions and commitments about the issues at the heart of the assurances. The State Department now has until May 8th to provide Congress with a report. These assurances are prospective, but of course, our view of them is informed by our ongoing assessments of Israel's conduct in the war in Gaza. We've had ongoing assessments of Israel's compliance with international humanitarian law. We have not found them to be in violation. Now, they couldn't say that if it wasn't true. So they're doing these things against Israel, but they have to admit that Israel is in full compliance with international law, despite what you hear on every channel and from every person up in the UN and everywhere else, either when it comes to the conduct of the war or the provision of humanitarian assistance. That's all you hear about in the news now. So they're not helping the Gazans. They're all starving to death. They're living on a bean a day and all this kind of stuff. It is untrue. It is absolutely untrue. We view those assurances through that ongoing work we have done, he added. We got some news from Christianity, from the Western Journal. Christian U.S. soccer player apologizes after Megan Rapinoe scolds her for sharing her beliefs. Wow. Never, wow. Ever apologize for what you believe. Ever. If you believe something, you don't apologize, because even after apologizing, all she's gotten is excoriated. This girl walked out on the field yesterday and a bunch of liberals in the audience were going, boo, boo. Listen, do not apologize for your belief in Christ or for your stand on any moral issue. Corbin Albert, 20-year-old midfielder on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, recently shared Christian-themed social media posts that discuss the immoral nature of homosexuality and feeling transgender. She said this is wrong, and here's why. Her posts brought a sharp rebuke from retired USWNT player and LGBT activist Rapinoe, who's disgusting to say the least, who described her comments as hate. You believing what you believe and saying it is hate. The scolding called forth an apology from Albert that had all the scripted insincerity of a hostage video. So she's obviously not agreeing to the apology, but the fact that she did it should never have arisen. You never apologize for what you believe is morally correct. And you can kind of get the sense of it. I want to sincerely apologize for my actions on social media. It's like she's got a gun pointed to her head. Liking and sharing posts that are offensive, insensitive, and hurtful was immature and disrespectful, which was never my intent. I'm really disappointed in myself and am deeply sorry for the hurt that I've caused to my teammates, other players, fans, friends, and anyone who was offended. I truly believe that everyone should feel safe and respected everywhere on all playing fields. Now, the only reason why she's doing this is because somebody threatened her job. You will not be playing if you don't apologize. So she's doing it, but she should not have apologized. She should have stood her ground, said, I will sue you if you do this, and it would have been behind her. And now we have to go through this nonsense. I know my actions have not lined up to that, and for that, I sincerely apologize. It's an honor and a privilege to get to play this sport and on the world stage, and I promise to do better. No word on whether Albert finished typing that post before or after the USWNT officials lowered the gun from her head. From Zero Hedge.
Hypocrite.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. From Zero Hedge, Trump selling $60 Bibles to make America pray again. Now, I understand that he is probably not the greatest Christian in the world. This is something that people have done for a long time. I had one from the Nixon era, and he was probably no more of a Christian than Trump, okay? We gave it away or something, or maybe it's in the back there. But anyway, this is the kind of thing that people do. But I wanted to give you a little thought on the American situation here, so I got two articles on it. President Trump announced his collaboration with country singer Lee Greenwood to promote the God Bless the USA Bible, encouraging people to buy it and make America pray again. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. I think you all should get a copy of God Bless the USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God Bless the USA Bible features, and this is why I won't buy one, because otherwise I would just buy one just to support him, but it features the King James Version, costing $59.99. I'm not going to get an English Bible that I have to now translate into modern English in order to enjoy it, okay? So I've got dozens and dozens of copies of the King James Version. The reason why he did that is because anybody? That's right. There's no copyright. It is public domain. This King James only version thing that is out there, I've got an entire thing on my website dedicated to it. You can see the thousands of errors that are in the King James version. The reason why this is any issue at all is because copyright-free Bibles make the people that are printing them very wealthy. Okay. And King James onlyism was started for that sole reason. Somebody said, this is the only inspired Bible. And he prints it off for $1 a copy. He sells it for $25 a copy. He makes $24. And if you can convince people that that is the only inspired Bible in the world, then you will have all the money, millions and millions coming in. And then people that don't check these things just believe it. And all of a sudden, it has become a set doctrine within Christianity. But there you go. Just want to let you know why I'm not buying this Bible. It includes the handwritten chorus of Mr. Greenwood's famous God Bless the USA song, and the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Pledge of Allegiance. So there you go. If you want a copy just for memorial sake, buy one. I recommend it because you're supporting Trump, but it's just not the version that I would ever read, so I'm not going to get one. From Breitbart, Sharpton. This is the second article on the same issue. Sharpton, Trump's Bible commercial insulting to believers. Yes. Al Not-So-Sharpton yes. said that President Trump doing an advertisement for the Bless the USA Bible was insulting to those who believe. Joy Reid said, talk to me about Trump. Trump is not a Christian. I mean, he's not a religious man at all. You know him. He's not religious. Not-So-Sharpton said, I have never heard him even discuss religion, lest be accused of attending religious gatherings, which is why it's so insulting to me as one who grew up in the church and have been a preacher since I was a boy. He and what's his name, Jesse Jackson, are the two biggest shakedown artists in America.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah, yeah. For him to not only come with selling Bibles during Holy Week, I mean, this is the week that we who believe in Christ, the real Christ, deal with the crucifixion today of Jesus, Good Friday, and Sunday, the resurrection. For him to use that as a marketing tool where the money goes to Trump, to him, which he means he's really doing this to pay off lawyers to get out of the porn star situation, defrauding bank situation. To do this, somebody who is not only not religious, but is totally insensitive to those who are. To take the Bible and to say that this is the only Bible endorsed by Donald Trump, if you believed it was the sacred word of God, who are you or I to endorse the word of God? Not so, Sharpton. Okay, I got some news from the Mideast and Africa today. That's what we do. We take this book in the pulpit every week, and we endorse it. That's what we do. That guy says, I'm not one to endorse the Bible. At least he's honest. What he's doing has nothing to do with Christianity. He wouldn't be supporting abortion rights people if he did. Okay, Mideast and Africa, from the Times of Israel. Palestinian Authority in final stages of talks with the U.S. to reform, listen to this, reform the pay-to-slay policy. The PA is in the final stages of talks with the Biden admin about reforming its controversial welfare policy, which includes payments to terrorists and their families. Drafts of the altered policy have been, now listen to this, why do you think they're doing this? They have what's known as the Taylor Force Act. No money can go to the Palestinian Authority if they support terrorism. And this is supporting terrorism. So the Biden admin, to keep funding these people, is just changing the lingo. Yeah. That's all he's doing. Listen to this. Vetted by the admin's lawyers. And the reform was on track to be announced in the coming weeks. The altered policy would base welfare stipends that Palestinian security prisoners receive on the recipient's financial need rather than the length of their sentence. They're just changing the reason for giving it to them, but it's the same people that are getting the same money, and they're doing this so that they can fund terrorism in Israel. This is the Biden admin that we're dealing with here. As is currently the case, adding that there were a number of outstanding issues still being negotiated. The White House has sought for months to receive a nod of approval from Israel, like they're going to say, yeah, we agree to this, worried that its rejection could lead to pro-Israel lawmakers in Congress to follow suit, thereby hampering the reform's legitimacy in Washington. They indicated that Prime Minister Netanyahu's office has been dragging its feet on the matter. Of course they have, because it's insane. Even as the premier regularly cites the controversial policy to argue that the Palestinian Authority cannot be trusted. The effort to coax the Palestinian Authority into implementing the reform was held tightly under wraps for the first 3+ years of the admin. They've been working on this for 3 years with only a small handful of people involved. But as progress was made in recent weeks and months, the circle of involvement had to be expanded. A second source familiar with the matter said, lamenting that Friday's leak may well lead to the reform being scuttled entirely, as Ramallah didn't want it to go public until after the initiative was finalized. They were trying to get the U.S. taxpayer to once again fund the murder of innocent Jewish people. Yep. This is our admin, and somebody leaked it, and now it's probably not going to happen. Best thing that could have happened there.
Yeah.
From the Jerusalem Post.
Yes.
Increased terror attacks by U.S.-trained Palestinian security officers as Biden dreams of reforming Ramallah. Increased terror attacks by U.S.-trained Palestinian Authority security officers, and he still wants to deal with these people. 2 weeks ago, the Regavim movement issued a report titled Officers by Day, Terrorists by Night, about the involvement of Palestinian Authority security officers. This is like their police force in terrorism in Judea and Samaria. The report revealed shocking data on more than 80 Palestinian Authority officers and policemen who were killed or arrested during or following attacks on Israeli civilians and IDF soldiers over the past 3 years. In a matter of days, two more Palestinian Authority security officers have been added to this despicable list. A U.S.-trained sharpshooter killed an IDF soldier and wounded 6 others in Binyamin while expertly surviving a 5-hour encounter with Israeli security forces. And another officer of the Palestinian Authority security forces fired on a bus carrying dozens of school children and on private cars in the Jordan Valley. Members of Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades participated in the October 7th atrocities and boasted about it on the organization's official channels. The Fatah spokesman posted videos of terrorists abducting Israeli victims and abusing them while wearing yellow scarves that are identified with Fatah, as opposed to green scarves associated with Hamas. Only hours after a PA officer sprayed a bus with Israeli students with bullets. State Department spokesman Miller told reporters the admin believes a reformed Palestinian Authority is essential to delivering results for the Palestinian people and establishing the conditions for stability in the West Bank and Gaza. With these people doing this, 80 of them in the past year, they are a force of stability. So we will engage with this government based on its actions. Yeah, I can see that. We'll be closely tracking the steps it takes to advance the key reforms and look forward to engaging with them on that matter. We want to see a united West Bank and Gaza that is governed by the Palestinian people through the Palestinian Authority. Yes, we have engaged with both the PA and with countries in the region about the full panoply of post-conflict issues that Gaza will face, including security officers continuing to kill Jews. Yeah, children. Now something interesting from Mongolia, from the Voice of America. U.S. seeks to seize former Mongolian Prime Minister's New York apartments. The DOJ sought to seize 2 multi-million-dollar Manhattan apartments that were purchased by a former Mongolian Prime Minister with funds from a money laundering and corruption scheme. Sukhbatar Batbold, currently a member of parliament, and his family bought 2 midtown Manhattan apartments for a total of $14 million in 2012 and 2015. Prosecutors said the apartments were purchased with profits from a $68 million mining contract awarded to Hong Kong-registered Ketrison Limited in 2011 to buy copper concentrates from the Erdenet copper mine in Mongolia. They said Ketrison, a newly formed company with no previous mining experience, was controlled by Batbold through intermediaries. Corruption at the highest levels in Mongolia. Okay, Daniel 12 technology today. This deals with something that will happen tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow?
Eclipse.
Okay, this is very interesting. I don't know if you heard about the first time they did this, but they need the second one to get the data. Very interesting. NASA has announced it will fire three scientific-sounding rockets into the moon's shadow on Monday, April 8th, during a partial solar eclipse across North America. The atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path will investigate how that drop in sunlight and temperature affects Earth's atmosphere in the upper atmosphere. APEP is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, nemesis of the sun deity Ra. NASA's suborbital rockets won't launch into totality. Instead, they'll go from Wallops Flight Facility in Wallops Island, Virginia, from where 81% of the sun will be blocked by the moon. That moment will happen at 1533 Eastern Standard Time, though the eclipse will take part between 1406 and 1633. However, this won't be the first simultaneous measurements taken from different locations in a very special layer of Earth's atmosphere during a solar eclipse. On Saturday, October 14th, at 10 a.m., 10:35 a.m., and 11:10 a.m. Mountain Time, the same three rockets were launched into the moon's shadow during another partial solar eclipse. They launched from White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico, where a 90% partial solar eclipse took place, reached altitudes of 216, 219, and 218 miles. All three scientific payloads were successfully recovered to be reflown from Wallops Flight Facility for the second part of the APEP experiment. Just as from New Mexico, the rockets will launch before, during, and after the peak of the eclipse. Each rocket will eject four secondary instruments, the size of a 2-liter soda bottle, that also measure the same data points. So it's similar to results from 15 rockets, while only launching three. The point of APEP is to look for perturbations, meaning changes in Earth's atmosphere during the eclipse, with four small scientific instruments measuring changes in electric and magnetic fields, density, and temperature. The rockets will enter the ionosphere, where the air becomes electric. It's here that ions and electrons wax and wane in temperature and density at sunrise and sunset. It's expected that the rapid eclipse of the sun will see waves ripple through the ionosphere. It's an electrified region that reflects and refracts radio signals and also impacts satellite comms as the signals pass through. Understanding the ionosphere and developing models to help us predict disturbances is crucial to making sure the communication-dependent world operates smoothly. Simply for that reason, they've gone to all of this trouble, and these people have figured out, like, to the foot where these things have to be measured, to the moment in time, to the exact location. That, to me, is incredible, that these people sat down and said, if we do this, we'll be able to find these perturbations and we'll be able to increase the ability of our communications. Absolutely outstanding. I hope it comes out, and if it does, we'll report on it. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues noted in the book of Revelation from the New York Post. Deadly flesh-eating infection spreading at record levels in Japan, puzzling health officials. My wife's eyes, she sits and listens with her eyes closed. I said that and they went, bam! Japan is expecting to see a large increase in cases of streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, which has a 30% fatality rate and is most often caused by the bacteria group called A. streptococcus. The surge in cases numbers has medical experts scratching their heads and urging people to wash their hands and thoroughly clean their wounds to curb its spread. The NIAID reported 941 confirmed cases of STSS in 2023. In the first 2 months of 2024, they have 378 cases already being recorded, infecting patients in all of but two Japan's 47 prefectures. In advanced stages, STSS can cause necrosis of connective tissues, covering the muscles, and even organ failure. Patients are prescribed antibiotics, but the tissue must be removed in serious cases. It's spreading, and they don't know why. Mail online. CDC alerts doctors to watch for rare bacterial infection that's killing 1 in 6 people and appearing with unusual symptoms. The CDC issued an alert about increased cases of a type of meningitis-causing strain that is rising rapidly in the United States. The agency found that there have already been 143 infections caused by the bacteria Neisseria meningitidis subgroup YST1466, 80% more than this time last year. This form is different than more common types in many ways. It's deadlier, causes different symptoms, and is striking much older patients than usual. Now, I will tell you why I believe this is happening. The same reason why all of the diseases are going up is because we have open southern borders, okay? I was hearing reading an article a couple days ago where somebody was blaming Trump or the anti-vaxxers, actually, but it was a Trump-related thing. Anti-vaxxers, they're blaming them for the rise in, the kids are getting the rash, measles. It has nothing to do with it. It's not anti-vaxxers. There have always been anti-vaxxers. It's these people that are clustered in these facilities all over America, and it is blooming, okay? None of this is true. This is the CDC will never admit what is going on because they are run by the government and they run the government. They're in bed together. Mail Online. Next epidemic to spill out of China could be super gonorrhea, where a rate of antibiotic resistant STIs are 40 times higher than the US and UK. Mail Online. Alzheimer's may be able to spread to organ transplant patients. Study suggests, as experts call for dementia screening for all donors. If you have a donation of an organ, they believe now that it can spread Alzheimer's to you. Morality is declining. Zero Hedge. Government-funded study claims Shakespeare made theater too white, male, and cisgender. Well, let's see. He was white, he was male, and he was cisgender. A study funded by the British government. The British government paid this to the tune of almost £1 million of your tax money, Benzer. Sandra. £1 million claims that Shakespeare, one of the foremost literary icons in history, has been disproportionately represented and has enabled white, able-bodied, heterosexual, cisgender male narratives to dominate theater. The study by academics at the University of Roehampton was funded by the government's Arts and Humanitarian Research Council and essentially claims that Shakespeare is not diverse enough. Masculinity and nationalism were crucial motivating factors in the rise of Shakespeare as the arbiter of literary greatness, adding that we need to be much, much more suspicious of Shakespeare's place in contemporary theater. There are not enough black and brown, disabled, queer, transgender migrants in Shakespeare's plays, apparently. As a counter to Shakespeare's lack of diversity, the researchers are staging a production of a play by John Lyly, a playwright around the same time as Shakespeare, but who wasn't as successful? Probably because he put out junk. Georgia Star News. Mandatory state training steers judges to question fitness of parents who don't affirm gender-confused kids. Judges who handle child abuse and neglect cases in California are required to take a training on LGBT issues that pushes them to consider whether parents who object to their child's preferred pronouns should have custody.
Wow. God.
Gateway Pundit. Canadaistan, out of control. Calgary judge allows woman with autism to receive medically assisted suicide. Decision is stayed for 30 days as her father appeals his ruling. Now, my guess is that the appeal is not going to be successful and they're going to nix this person. Wow. Reuters, Thailand moves closer to legalizing same-sex unions as parliament passes bill. Politics brief. White House retreats on controversial transgender policy until after the election because it's too political.
Really? What's that mean?
Idaho Capital Sun. Idaho governor signs law to ban Medicaid, state insurance coverage for transgender care. Got some other news for you from the 10th Amendment Center. Louisiana state passes bill to, did anybody read this? This is a marvelous bill. Louisiana Senate passes bill to end state cooperation with the United Nations and the World Health Organizations.
Yay.
Listen to this. This is brilliant. The LA Senate unanimously passed a bill that would end state and local cooperation with rules and mandates that may be imposed by international organizations, including the United Nations and the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, United Nations, and World Economic Forum shall have no jurisdiction or power within the state of Louisiana. That's a part of their bill. No rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, or mandate of any kind of the WHO, UN, and WEF shall be enforced or implemented by the state of Louisiana or any agency, department, board, commission, political subdivision, governmental entity of the state, parish, municipality, or any other political entity. It is entirely forbidden. Yeah. The Senate passed the SB 133 by a 37-0 vote. Based on James Madison's advice for states and individuals in Federalist Number 46, listen to this, a refusal to cooperate with officers of the Union provides an extremely effective method to render federal laws effectively unenforceable because most enforcement actions rely on help, support, and leadership from the states. This is just as true when it comes to international bodies, probably more. These institutions have no enforcement mechanism of their own. All of their power is based on voluntary compliance and enforcement by local jurisdictions. Now, listen to this. Biden wants to cede our rights to the World Health Organization. He won't be able to do it. When they pass this in one state, it will not happen. Continue listening. Andrew Napolitano agreed with this type of approach would be extremely effective. In a discussion on federal gun laws, he noted that a single state refusing to cooperate with enforcement would make federal gun laws nearly impossible to enforce. The federal government relies heavily on state cooperation to implement and enforce almost all of its laws, regulations, and acts. By simply withdrawing this necessary cooperation, states can nullify, in effect, many federal actions. As noted by the National Governors Association during the partial shutdown of 2013, states are partners with the federal government on most federal programs. This enforcement problem is magnified when it comes to international bodies such as the World Health Organization and the United Nations. Some might argue that Louisiana is obligated to enforce WHO or UN mandates due to treaties. But this doesn't stand up to legal scrutiny. SCOTUS has consistently held that the federal government cannot commandeer state and local resources for its own purposes. Under the anti-commandeering doctrine, states are sovereign entities and can direct their resources as they see fit. It logically follows that international organizations can't commandeer state and local resources either. See what's going on? They pass a law in one state. The rest of the states say, we are in cahoots with them. We are not going to do it. And it is null and void. Any liberal state that wants to do it, let them fund it. If they don't want to, they cannot make you do it. Even if the U.S. government is obliged to enforce some United Nations mandate based on a treaty, it doesn't follow that state and local governments must also enforce the same. No determination of constitutionality is necessary to invoke the anti-commandeering doctrine. State and local governments can refuse to enforce federal laws or implement federal programs, whether they are constitutional or not. SB 133 will move to the House for further consideration. My guess is, with a 37-0 in the Senate, the House will approve it.
Yes.
It was referred to the Committee on House and Governmental Affairs, where it must get a hearing and pass by a majority vote before moving forward in the legislative process. My guess is they will do it. And then the governor will sign it. And if not, they can override a veto.
Yes.
We'll see. But that is very, very, very interesting. If it was to fail, I would still say that Florida should jump right on that and do the same thing immediately.
What about the QR code?
I have no idea. It's not addressed in here, and so I have no idea. No idea. Mail online. Tough on the victims of crime. St. Louis Democrat mayor blames convenience store owners for crimes that happen on their property and vows to hold them accountable for lawbreaking. Now, listen to where she made this giant mental leap from, okay? Mayor Tish Jones told the Black Mayors Coalition, which nobody was allowed to accept black mayors, nobody, on crime, she plans to make convenience store owners more responsible for crimes on or near their properties. The plans are inspired by those in Atlanta that make nightclub owners more liable for crimes on their premises, which makes total sense, right? You got a nightclub and they're having crimes and they have to take care of the problem. But a convenience store is a completely different dynamic, except in Trish Jones's mind. And all of a sudden, this is the greatest idea in the world. From the post-millennial, Canadians pay out $115 million to house illegal immigrants in Niagara Falls hotels. So if you're in Canada, you're paying for that. Breitbart, UK population rose by more than 4 million since 2011 to a record 67.6 million amid mass migration. Breitbart, record number of illegal migrants crossed English Channel in the first 3 months of this year. Zero Hedge, so much for the conservatives that said they were going to get a hold of this, okay? Zero Hedge, Biden budget shells out $320 million on border walls. Finally. Oh, wait, for Oman, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, and Tunisia. Mail Online, the UK would run out of ammunition. This is a well-run government, folks. The UK would run out of ammunition and equipment in less than 2 months in a war against Putin's Russia, the defense chief admits. Wow. Publicly admitted it. Breitbart, California raises minimum wage for fast food workers despite highest unemployment rate in the nation. And since then, since that, I have seen article after article of companies firing their employees. Yep. Right. They can't pay them. They're not going to. So they have gone from the highest unemployment rate in the nation to, oh, wait, they can't go any higher. Zero Hedge, Ukrainian drones hit Russia's third largest oil refinery. Wait. Prompting White House anger.
Oh.
We're supposed to be winning a war. You take advantage of whatever you can to win a war. That is not the goal here. The goal is to not have Russia's oil influenced because oil prices will go up in an election year and he will look bad. That's the only reason why the White House cares about anything is power, consolidated power. Who said it? Useful idiots was the term supposedly coined by Lenin to describe similarly unthinking supporters of his dictatorship in the Soviet Union. Thomas Sowell. Very smart guy. Okay, I got a lesser cure for you. We'll see if you can figure out what he's talking about, or she. They sent me two and I picked one. It's important for Brits to spend cash, so a poet of fame they can trash. Bills too white, male, and right by those claiming insight, turning classics galore into hash. Poor Shakespeare. He'd be rolling over in his grave if people did that, but they don't. Okay, well, I got to say something encouraging. Jesus is coming.
Yay!
Jesus is. I'll tell you something even more encouraging. You're going to laugh about this. I posted an article on the CG Report yesterday that these people have all made these for months now. I mean, my friends in Arkansas said that they've been booked for months in advance. The whole town is going to be booked for this eclipse. And they have now determined that it's going to be 2,000 feet off from where it was. So those people are going to have to walk an extra 2,000 feet to watch the eclipse. All that camera stuff they set up a week or two ago, got to take it down and take it over. So that's kind of encouraging. Okay.
They also said it's supposed to be very cloudy.
Yeah, a lot of places are going to be totally clouded over, completely clouded over, which, you know, breaks my heart. Mail Online. If you want to see great celestial events, go to the Siesta Cam first thing in the morning and watch the sunrise over Florida. It is beautiful. Okay? It's pointed right there from my dock every single day. Today we had a really beautiful sunrise. Okay. Irony, Mail Online. I know this is sad, but it is ironic. Miami father shoots and kills himself in front of girlfriend, and the bullet also strikes her in the head.
Oh.
Yeah, it didn't kill her, but she got a bullet in the head.
Wow.
Mail Online. This is really funny. It's not so ironic because it's just funny. And these are old ladies. These aren't like, they're old ladies.
Be careful.
Well, I'm old, so. Two Ohio women drove to bank with dead man's body in a car to withdraw $900 from the drive-thru before dropping the corpse off at the hospital. Yes, he's dead. They got his money, and then they dropped him off at the hospital. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida, to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.